Hello and welcome to the Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast. My name is Beth Shank. I'm a nurse in Missoula, Montana. And today we are talking with Lil Mood, one of our leaders in environmental health nursing in the United States. Welcome, Lil. Well,
I'm happy to be with you, Beth. Thanks for calling.
You bet. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
All right. Well, I'm a retired public health nurse in South Carolina. I worked in hospitals for about 8 years after I graduated from nursing school, and then went into public health in 1970, and spent about a third of my career. I was in with the state health department for over 30 years, and about a third of that time I was in developing home health care. This was right after the Medicare made that a benefit, and we were trying to make sure that our citizens in South Carolina had access to home care. So, and then in the middle third of my career, I was in nursing administration in the state health department and agency administration on the commissioner's staff. And for the final third of my career, I was based in the environmental quality control, the environmental protection programs in South Carolina. Our EPA delegated environmental programs and the state environmental protection program. At the invitation of the deputy commissioner for environmental health, I was invited to transfer to the environmental programs to be a community liaison, to be a link between our environmental scientists and engineers and concerned communities who were either affected by or thought they were having their health affected by something in the environment. So we were kind of making up my role as we went along, but I was the person who got the calls when people in communities were concerned, and then my job was to go and sit down with people at kitchen tables and in country churches and at neighborhood association meetings and let them tell me and show me what it was that was of concern to them. And then my job was to come back and to the agency and round up the people who might be a part of the solution to the questions and develop a plan for responding to those communities and keeping that communication ongoing so that the community was abreast of everything we were doing and that we were tuned into their communities, just keeping a two-way communication going. Another part of that job was that when the staff knew something that had happened, was happening in the environment, maybe an industry that had applied for a permit or an environmental spill or some pollution discovered, then my job was to reach out to the communities to work with them on how we could get them informed and keep them informed on progress we were making to resolve the problem. So so that was the job that I did for that last close to 10 years of my career. I retired in 2001, and I'm still involved in environmental issues in my state, but more in my community, where most of my focus has been on built environment issues, how we can make communities more livable, more walkable, safe places for walking and biking. Public transportation has been a major involvement for my volunteer work, all of which we know are ways that locally we can have impact immediately on people's health and safety, but also on the larger issues like climate change.
Terrific. And also, I know, Lil, you were one of the thought leaders early, and you were asked by the Institute of Medicine to convene a group to write what has become a really important book for environmental nursing. Would you tell us about that?
Oh, that was such an exciting project. And I want to give credit here to Barb Sattler, because she really, and with some other nurse leaders, was the impetus for approaching the Institute of Medicine about the need for a study that looked at the links between among nursing, health, and the environment. And so I was fortunate enough to have served on a previous Institute of Medicine committee on the future of public health back in the 1980s. And so I was something of a known quantity to the staff at the Institute and also to this group of nurses through our professional relationships in largely APHA nursing section, public health nursing and environment sections. So it was a happy marriage that that they asked me to chair that search committee, I mean, that study committee. And so for a couple of years, we collaborated and put our heads together with some really remarkable nurses and other professionals from medicine and other scientists to study actually what we needed to be focused on in reconnecting and reinforcing the connection between between public health and nursing and the environment. And the outcome was the book is actually the report from the study that addresses the links between nursing and environment and health, but also in all of the dimensions of nursing in education and practice and research and advocacy.
Terrific. And that framework that you just described has become the basis for the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments. And we call it the REAP framework, research, education, advocacy, and practice. Your influence has been felt for many years through that work. How are you currently involved with Annie, particularly?
Well, I'm still on the steering committee, and I'm on the advocacy work group. I will confess that I'm not as active a participant as I once was, and I tune into the phone calls when I can and the conference calls and maintain email links and linkages, but I find that my focus now is really more active in my local community.
Well, speaking of that, your engagement in your community, how would you describe that relates to your role as a nurse?
Well, you know, it's hard to draw a line for me because my role as a nurse has been so integral to my environmental concerns and my public health work and my passion for building community that the edges among those certainly overlap and blur. But I grew up at a time when my first nursing education in baccalaureate education I was taken with Virginia Henderson's definition of nursing when she talked about nurses doing for people if they had the strength and the knowledge and the information they could do for themselves, that we help people until we can. And the thought that stuck with me over all these years is that she said that every contact with a nurse should be a strengthening experience. And so I've carried that with me my entire career and into retirement, so that as a nurse, I still am in the process of assessing what's going on and trying to determine what role I can play in that and making sure that whatever my part is in addressing an issue, it's a role of strengthening both the other people involved and the situation that we are trying to impact.
Wow, that's just a great rule to live by, isn't it? When you think, and I think that's one of the reasons why nurses are so well respected and are, you know, we're the most trusted profession in the nation for many years running. And so as I think about that, what you just said, and how younger nurses, people just coming out of school, might get engaged in terms of local community building or community work or activism. Do you have any advice or anything you could share with nurses who are just entering the profession who might be interested?
Oh, yes. Well, of course, I'm an advocate for people belonging to their professional associations because I think that not only connects us with issues, but it also informs us and links us with people of like mind and who have knowledge and resources that will help us with whatever we're trying to accomplish. So that's one step. But within the local community, it is so easy. I would just start with identifying where people are already meeting And it may be a town council meeting, it may be a county council meeting, it may be a school board meeting, a Rotary Club, in any number of places where people are gathering. You can look and see or access your local environmental agency to see where there may be public hearings on an environmental issue or opportunities for. And then I would just go and see what's going on there and talk to the people that you meet and see whether there's a way for you to be an active part of the process. But I think sometimes we think we have to have some sort of full-fledged issue and position to enter the process, when I believe the first step is always just to be present and listen, and then you will be able to kind of formulate what the next step is from there.
That's great advice, to take it one step at a time, to enter the process, and as you said, to use the first nursing process measure, which is to assess. I have a question for you about, because you've been very effective in national scenes at your state level through your whole career and in your community, especially with your work now. Is there a particular issue or focus that is concerning to you? If you think about, you know, your life and our circumstances right now with environmental health, is there a particular concern that that concerns you most?
Well, when I retired, I was still very, had a lot of energy and interest in continuing to be involved. And what I thought about was that I didn't want to just scattershot my efforts. And that's easy to do, because when you retire, you get lots of calls from people saying, oh, you've got time now, why don't you help us with this? And so what I decided to focus on was public transportation. And the reason for that is that in all the time that I worked in public health, whether it was trying to get babies in for immunizations, get moms for prenatal care, whether we were trying to protect the quality of the air and the water, I mean, just every single issue, transportation was either part of the problem or part of the solution. So I thought if I focused on that, that it might touch a lot of the issues or help with a lot of the issues that were important to me. And that is really proved to be the case. And I found getting involved was easier than I thought. I just showed up at a public meeting and spoke to my concerns about that was addressing plan for transportation within the area and express some of my ideas and concerns, and immediately people put you on committees. So I was on an advisory committee for the Department of Transportation and for the Regional Planning Commission and some of it around rail transit. And then when our local bus system for the capital city and in the extending into the surrounding areas was merged into a regional transit authority, because people knew of my interest, I was invited to represent my small community on the board for the transit authority. And I still serve on that board. Governing board has morphed several times into a different configuration, but I now represent my county, the county council. I'm the county council representative on the governing board for the transit authority, which is the bus system for our entire area. The other way that I've gotten involved is through the League of Women Voters, who is a nonpartisan advocacy group that is just a remarkable group of women and men who have an enormous credibility on public issues, because the kinds of things we get involved with, we can speak for the League when we have been through a study process on an issue and come to a consensus position on it. And so people know that we are not partisan, we don't advocate for candidates, And transportation is one of the issues there. So I serve as the transportation chair for my local chapter of the league, and that gives me entry into lots of other places. One recent example is that there's a huge roads project proposed to relieve traffic congestion in the capital city area, and I represent the league on a stakeholder group for advisory to that. So it's I mean, when I talk about some of the places that I'm serving, it may not sound like nursing to some people, but I believe that wherever we can have input and make a difference in something that will affect people's health, that's where we need to be. And we know that looking at other ways of transportation other than people individually driving cars everywhere we need to go has enormous health effects, not only in terms of the protection of air quality and some of the control of greenhouse gases, these broad environmental problems, all the way to injuries and fatalities and traffic injuries and fatalities, and on to people being able to lead healthier lives because they are more active in walking and biking and getting around their communities in ways that don't involve automobiles for every trip, but actually have a health benefit for them. So there, when I went to work in the environmental programs, the first principle of environmental science that I was taught by my colleagues was that everything is connected to everything else. And that is certainly what I experience in my work on public transportation and the whole broader issue of the built environment.
That's terrific. And you've described so well these linkages, which are, I think, hard for us as humans to keep in mind. But you have clearly brought the public health perspectives, which takes us not only looking at the individuals, but also looking at the systems, which then impact individual choices, options, health, outcomes, etc. So that's fantastic work. I also know that you've done some work with sequoias. Why don't you tell us about that?
Oh, that was such a fun project. Well, for the last, let me see if I can give you a thumbnail of this, but for 2 years, I worked with a group of high school students here in my community, and what we were doing was planting sequoia trees in public places in the community that would represent all dimensions of the community. So at town hall, we planted them for government, at the high school for education, at a new technology park for business, at churches for religion, at a thrift store for nonprofit organizations, and now I still have some to plant at a local healthcare facility. But in any case, we ended up after a couple of years with 41 trees, marked trees, and the markers themselves were made by another group of students at our local technical school, high school, and then people learned about what we were doing, and so they said, well, people would individually would say, well, I want to plant a tree or trees, and so we've tracked those, and we have close to 200 trees in the ground in the area as a result of the project, and here. We had several goals for this project. We were in a situation where we'd had a very contentious local election, and there was a lot of divisiveness in the community. And so, our first goal was to have a project that that would pull the community together, that everybody could be for. And that goes right back to my passion for building community. The second part of our agenda was that sequoia trees are just amazing carbon absorbers, so that they would not only add beauty, but they would also help us with improving the quality of our air. The third feature was that the third objective that we had was to that if we could get these trees to grow, and they are growing, that would become a unique feature for our community. I mean, this little small town in South Carolina with sequoia trees, we might get people to get off the interstate and come to see us. And then my final objective in this, which I think is really important, is that I wanted these 15 and 16 year olds that I was working with to have an experience of how things work in communities. How do you go about accomplishing something that you want to get done in your community? Who do you talk to? Who do you meet with? How does that happen? And to really be an integral part of that process. And in the process, that they would begin to be doing, learning to do long-term thinking, because I think one of the problems we have in our society today is that we think too short-term. You know, we think of the next budget year or the next election cycle, when we really need to be thinking like our Native American tribes who operate on that rule of seven, that we need to consider our decisions in terms of their impact on the seventh generation. So these students, by planting sequoia trees, which was clearly something that none of us will see them live to their full maturity, they were really making a statement about their faith and confidence in the future. And I have to tell you that at one point, when one of the students that I was driving to do a presentation to town council, because these kids weren't old enough to have driver's licenses, and when he said to the town council, "You know, these trees are for my grandchildren's children," I thought, oh, yes, they're getting the point. So with all of those four objectives together, it was a wonderful experience for me and for the students. I recently met with some of them because we took a picture of them by one of the tiny little trees they planted that's now probably about 12 feet tall. And just at the point that they graduated this year and they're going out into the world and to do different things. And I believe that because they tell me and their parents tell me that this project made a difference to them, and I'm hoping to our whole community.
That's wonderful, Lil. It's a great example of you applying principles that have applied to your entire life and career to help with your support issues in your local community, and obviously have been successful. It's really inspiring. Well, Lil, thank you so much for talking with me today. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we finish?
Well, I will just say that I think we have some real advantages as nurses. One is that we're one of the few professions that are actually taught how to listen. And I think that is one of the key skills that we have to bring to every situation where we want to make an impact. And so I want us to use those skills and to bring that not only in our own practice, but in sharing with others the power of listening. And the other thing is that I think I've was blessed to be a part of public health because it's one of the places where we also learn that as important as every profession is, as we have a unique something to offer, that we really get a lot more done when we work across disciplines and across professions and across all dimensions of communities if we're going to truly make an impact on the environment.
Terrific. Thank you so much to Lil Mood, who is one of the leaders in environmental health nursing for our nation. It's just fantastic to talk to you, Lil, and we really appreciate your time. Thank you for listening to the Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast. Check us out at environ.org, and please leave a review for us on Apple Podcasts on iTunes. This is Beth Shank, and talk to you next time.